Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this Memorial Day weekend podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I'm the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And today, on this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we're examining the evidence that has just been revealed showing not one or two UFOs, but as many as nine UFOs harassing a U.S. Navy warship for over an hour. The unidentified aerial phenomenon was part of a series of strange intrusions involving nine U.S. Navy ships in the Pacific Ocean back in July of 2019. The objects are truly of unknown origins. If they are foreign drones, they display their abilities to exceed our own technologies past anything that we know of. And some of them appeared to be transmedium craft. They could fly in the air, they could enter the ocean, travel through water as easily as they fly through the air. The Department of Defense has not issued a public statement on the latest footage that was found last night, Thursday night. Now, the filmmaker, Jeremy Corbell, who leaked the footage of UFOs harassing a warship off the coast of California, he released new radar footage yesterday, Thursday, that purportedly shows the USS Omaha being swarmed by unidentified aerial phenomena. Corbell says, "This is corroborative electro-optic data demonstrating a significant UFO event series in a warning area off of San Diego. The new unclassified clip shows sailors around the USS Omaha observing as many as nine UFOs swarming the ship at speeds approaching 160 miles per hour. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered live in the chat room, Lord, and listening live now across America and around the world. And we pray, Lord, for everyone who will listen to these programs in the archive, that they would get a blessing, that they would be more informed about truly the times that we live in. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." And Lord, these are our days today. And Father God, we pray for Jeanette's mom and dad, and they're going through health issues. We pray, Lord, that you would give a healing there. We pray for Jacqueline in New Mexico. We pray for Chelsea in Oregon. We pray for Amanda in Pennsylvania. Lord, all these have needs today. They need to hear from you. They need a touch from you today, Father God. And we just pray that you would work and move in a mighty way. And we lift up, Lord, the entire Now the End Begins family, Lord. Bible believers gathered across America and around the world in 120 different countries. And we come before you, Lord, as a church family today. And we ask you, Lord, to work and move and answer the prayers of our hearts. We ask you, God, to order and reorder our steps. Your word says, Lord, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, you call us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways, God, to acknowledge you, and you shall direct our paths. And we claim that today, Father God, and we lay ourselves down at your feet and ask you to work and move in a mighty way. Do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, Lord. We don't come in our own strength and power, but yours, Lord. And we ask you to work and move in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. And yes, this is yet another podcast where we're talking about UFOs. But if you've been around Now the End Begins for any length of time, you know that we've been talking about UFOs for the past 12 years. But when we started talking about the UFOs, we were called the crazy conspiracy nuts. Even among fellow Christians, we didn't get a whole lot of support. People felt that that was just pure fantasy. But in 2021, it's gone from fantasy to reality. And we have been bringing you a lot of programs about UFOs over the last couple of months. Sherry in the chat room this morning said that it seems like I am obsessed with UFOs, and there might be a little bit of truth there. But let me tell you something. UFOs are absolutely in the Bible. The Bible talks about a flying roll that went through the sky. Did you ever read those passages? In Zechariah chapter 5, Zechariah chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, and I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then he said unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. And I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. So Zechariah talks about a flying roll. And we can debate back and forth on what that flying roll might be. But what does it seem like to you? He looks up in the sky and he sees a flying roll that is 20 cubits. How big is 20 cubits? That's about 30 feet. That's a pretty big flying roll, 30 feet. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, turn to Daniel chapter 12. And this is one of the hallmarks of the end times. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." That's Jacob's trouble. "Such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." This is the time that we're living in. Now, granted, Daniel 12, 1 through 4 is really talking about the time of Jacob's trouble and the time of the great tribulation. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says that these days would be like the days of Noah. Well, when we read those passages, starting in verse 36, Matthew 24, 36, we see that the days of Noah did not start in Genesis chapter 6. The days of Noah started in Genesis chapter 5. Matthew 24, 36 through 39. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Do you see what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 24? And this is a part that many people overlook. Everybody focuses on the flood of Noah, which is the type of the tribulation. But Jesus says that the days of Noah start in the days before the flood. How do we apply that to our time? Well, the days of Noah start before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble, before the start of the time of the great tribulation. The days of Noah start in the closing moments of the church age. And when you turn to Genesis chapter 5, now Jesus says in Matthew 24, 38, For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. When you turn to Genesis chapter 5, what do you see? You see, and Canaan begat Mahalaleel, and Canaan lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years, and Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. What do we see in Genesis chapter 5? We see people marrying and giving in marriage. Exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24. The days of Noah do not start with the flood. The days of Noah do not start with Noah being called to build an ark. Jesus says that the days of Noah happen, they begin in the days that were before the flood in Genesis chapter 5. Now, who was Enoch? Enoch was not Jewish. He was not Hebrew. Enoch was a Gentile. Enoch is a type picture of the Christian who never sees death because God translates him. And Enoch is the very first person in the Bible to be taken up in a type of the rapture. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not because God took him. You know what that word rapture means? Rapturos. Have you ever watched Jurassic Park? And have you ever seen that really scary dinosaur called the Velociraptor? That word raptor, rapture, that means to take something by force, to seize something by force. And in the movie Jurassic Park, those velociraptors, they run really, really fast. And then they catch you with their super sharp claws. And they seize you and they take you away. And of course, they eat you. And it's all very disgusting. But why do you think the people who made the movie Jurassic Park called these creatures velociraptors? Rapture. Pre-tribulation rapture. That word rapture means to take something by force, to seize something by force. Jeanette says, snatch it up and take it away. That's exactly what it is, and that's what we see in Genesis chapter 5. So, I am setting the table for you to answer Sherry's statement that I seem to be a little bit obsessed with UFOs. Because what we see happening before us right now, you know, look, the whole world thinks that this summer, now that all these restrictions in just about every state about COVID and the coronavirus are being lifted, here in Florida, our restrictions have been lifted for months and months and months because we have a fantastic governor, Governor Ron DeSantis, and I hope he does not run for president because I need him here as the governor of the free state of Florida. But suffice to say that Florida has been open for a long, long time now, but many of you who live in restrictive, authoritative 1984 Democrat-run prison states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, Rhode Island, Vermont, Maine, you live in prison states. And your restrictions are just starting to be lifted. But let me tell you something. I saw on the Drudge Report today some sort of event that somebody's having. Let me see here. I lost the article. But talking about, I think, the Indy 500, they're going to have 135,000 people attend or something like that. Don't think for a second that this crisis is over. This crisis is not over. It's going to switch. The focus is going to change. They can only beat you over the head for so long with fear tactics about a virus until people get wise to that. Let me see the COVID rates for St. John's County, where we live here in the free state of Florida. In St. John's County, we have had, over the last 14 months, we have had 23,208 cases of COVID. 23,208 cases of COVID. Now, how many people have died from that? 221. So let's take a look. I now have a percentage calculator. And let's see what percentage of 23,208 is 221. That is 0.952%. So less than 1% of everybody in St. John's County, Florida, where we have had 23,208 cases of COVID, less than 1% of those people have died. Now, that's very, very sad for the 221 people that did die. And as crazy as that seems, I actually know one of those people. He used to sit behind me in church, and we prayed for him last year when he was sick in the hospital, John Roth. We prayed for him on every program for about 3 or 4 weeks until the Lord took him home. So I personally knew one of those 221 people. But 221 people out of 23,208 is not a lot of people. So the world is getting COVID fatigue right now. And they realize, the New World Order realizes, that it's going to be harder. They've got to come up with something new to scare people. Now, the UFOs is not part of a scare tactic. This has been building for years and years and years. And I really think that the last 14, 15 months that we've all experienced with global panic and global economic and financial collapse, global lockdowns, and now global vaccines. How about this story? The Danish government on Friday in Denmark presented its digital coronavirus passport that enables people to travel abroad or in Denmark to go to the hairdresser, a tattoo parlor, dine inside a restaurant, or wherever else it is needed. The Corona passport we present today can be used from July 1st when you can travel within the European Union. Some 20% of Denmark's population of 6 million people have been fully vaccinated, according to the latest figures. During a press conference outside the Copenhagen airport, Health Minister Magnus Heunicke held up his phone to show the app, which features a QR code and a green bar if the person has been vaccinated twice or recently tested negative for COVID-19. So the first word, and we will get to the UFOs in just a minute, but the first word of warning that I want to give you today is you need to be on your guard. This summer, they are going to release a lot of the restrictions and the regulations, and you're going to be able to go back into restaurants and go wherever you want to go, and people are going to be attending ball games, and the stadiums are going to be filled. But as sure as I'm sitting here, I am telling you, I am warning you that you need to be on your guard, because what they started back in March of 2020 is a campaign. And the people who are behind this campaign, they have been behind this for multiple generations. This is all part of the New World Order. And if you think that this summer is going to mark the turning point and that things are going to be over, they are not going to be over. Every single day, people die from the COVID vaccine. Every single day. Now, you won't see that reported in most newspapers. You won't see that in the fake news media. But nearly every single day, dozens and dozens of people around the world are dying from the COVID vaccine. On our podcast on Monday, we talked about what life is going to be like when they activate these vaccines. Now, people say, what do you mean, activate the vaccines? Well, it is my personal belief, my personal opinion, that there is something in those vaccines that they can turn on and things are going to change. Moderna said that their vaccine is like software for an operating system. They call it a new approach to medicine. And they say that their mRNA platform is like creating software for an operating system. And all you have to do is go to their website, modernatx.com, and you can see it for yourself. Pfizer and Moderna, they do call their COVID-19 shot a vaccine. They also call them an operating system designed to program humans. They call them biological agents. Moderna calls their product software for an operating system. You are the hardware. The mRNA vaccines are the software. And it is my personal belief that there is something in those. Now, I've seen those videos where people put a magnet to their arm and there's magnetic particles in the vaccine that makes a magnet stick to your arm. I haven't tested that out. I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't seem like it would be true. But it certainly could be true. I don't know. I haven't tested it out. But the point of what I'm saying is there is something in those vaccines that I believe that they will be able to turn on when they decide that the time is right. And I do believe that people are being programmed with these vaccines, programmed and reprogrammed. I don't know why on earth that you need a vaccine for something that kills less than 1% of the population. I don't understand why billions of dollars had to be spent and why billions of people have to be vaccinated. But that's exactly what they're doing, and that's not going to stop. Now they're vaccinating teenagers. Now they're vaccinating preteens. And this is what Bill Gates, this is his master plan. You remember last week we talked about how they, now that Bill Gates has done what he's done, the job that he was told to do, and now they've thrown him under the bus with allegations of sexual misconduct that go back 20 years. Now, why do you think that the news, the fake news media, they've known about those reports for 20 years? Ask yourself this question. Last year, the fake news media put Bill Gates up on a platform, up on a podium, up on a pedestal that was so high, it was almost like they were worshiping him. And he could do no wrong. Anytime he opened his mouth, every single CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, NPR, MSNBC, USA Today, they all dutifully reported on whatever Bill Gates had to say. The words that came out of his mouth, they hung on every single word. But I want you to think about this. While they were putting him up on a pedestal last year, every single one of those people, those reporters, every single one of those reporters knew about the allegations against Bill Gates from 20 years ago. Why didn't they say anything? The vast majority of those reporters knew about the connection between Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. Why didn't they say anything? Why did they put him up on a platform last year, up on a pedestal last year, And why do they tear him down this year? Well, the answer is very simple. If you believe in what the Bible says, that at some point a new world order is going to rise. The new world order is very it's very cannibalistic. Satan has no problem destroying you after he uses you. And the new world order, which is raised up by Satan, is very, very much the same way. And they put people up on a pedestal for a short period of time. And if you look in Hollywood, you look in the rap music world, you look in the contemporary Christian music world. We did a story a couple of days ago about the former singer from DC Talk, who has left Christianity, and he is urging people to follow something that he calls the Universal Christ. Now, this man has been given fame and riches and acclaim and all that this world has to offer. But that's what the devil does when he's done with you. He throws you under the bus and he leaves you to your own devices. And that's what they're doing to Bill Gates right now. They are in the process of destroying the reputation of Bill Gates with information that they have purposely kept to themselves for the better part of two decades. So you need to understand how ruthless these people are. You need to understand how devious and deceptive these people are, and they will go to any lengths of any kind to make sure that their agenda is put forward. So Bill Gates, obviously, he has completed the task that was assigned to him. He said that 7 vaccine companies were going to be created, and he personally spent $500 million to help Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and all these other companies get online with these vaccines. Dozens and dozens of new billionaires have been created through selling the COVID vaccine. And when you really start to look at this thing, you see what an incredible scam that this whole thing is. So now Bill Gates did with the New World Order. They made him at one point the richest man on the face of the earth. They gave him cars and houses. They gave him absolutely everything that you could want in your flesh. But Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Matthew 16, 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Can you imagine Bill Gates at the Great White Throne Judgment? What's he going to do? Is he going to try to bribe God? Is he going to try to bribe the holy angels? Is he going to try to bribe the born-again Church of Jesus Christ, that's me and you, who will be up there judging men and judging angels? What is Bill Gates going to do in that day when he stands naked and ashamed before the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Bill Gates is one of those people, when you look into his eyes, there's nothing looking back. To me, he looks like an empty shell of a human being. A lot of people talk about Bill Gates as being an alien. Some people call him a reptilian. And you get the same feeling when you look into the eyes of people like Mark Zuckerberg and Nancy Pelosi. And you really begin to wonder, are these human beings or what exactly are they? And I don't put a whole lot of stock in those reptilian theories and things of that nature, but I will ask you this question. Why was the Papal Audience Hall building at the Vatican constructed in the shape of a giant reptile? couple of years ago, we did this story and we told you that the Vatican built this building called the Papal Audience Hall. And it is the place where the Pope will hold court and he will talk about serious and complex church matters, Roman Catholic Church matters. And yet when you look at this building, the entire building is in the shape of a reptile, just like the serpent that the Bible says Satan appeared to Eve as in Genesis chapter 3. So when we hear stories about people being reptilians, and you really kind of want to laugh those stories off, but then, just like with the UFO, you begin to take a closer look. People are always shocked when you show them the throne, the papal throne that is at the papal audience hall that is in the shape of a reptile. The Bible talks about a place where Satan's seat is. Have you ever heard the Bible talking about Satan's seat? Revelation 2:13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And people are always shocked when I show them that picture of Pope Benedict sitting on the papal throne in front of a New Age Jesus. That's what that singer from DC Talk, Kevin Max, talks about worshiping the New Age Jesus. Well, all you have to do is look at the Roman Catholic Church and you will see the universal Christ. And he's a skinny, emaciated figure who was a beaten figure. The universal Christ of the Roman Catholic Church is a failure. He's an absolute failure. And why? Because he's not the actual Jesus Christ of the Bible. And when you look at the Pope sitting on that seat in front of this universal Christ statue with what looks like hundreds of bodies being tortured and tormented, why would the Roman Catholic Church choose to have that in their snake building? Well, because that's where Satan's seat is. Satan's seat is the Roman Catholic Church. Now, you may be wondering, hey, I thought this program was about UFOs. This program is about UFOs today. But I want to show you the complex nature of the times that we live in. Everything is connected. Nothing is happening in isolation. Nothing is happening as a one-off event. All of these things are building to the appearance of one man, and that man is Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that in order for the pre-tribulation rapture to take place, and I do not believe that the pre-tribulation rapture could have taken place at any time over the last 2,000 years. I don't believe, now that may be Baptist theology, but I do not believe that is Bible theology, because the Apostle Paul says that two things have to take place in order for the rapture to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ, that's the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, is at hand. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So in order for the rapture to take place, two things have to happen. You have to have the great falling away, and you have to have the appearance of the man of sin. And it looks like we have a troll in the chat room. Bye-bye, George. Thanks for stopping by. Two things have to take place in order for the rapture to happen. The man of sin has to be revealed. The man of sin has to be revealed, and there has to be the great falling away. Now, part of this, part of all of this, is a time of universal deception. And now, we've reached the part in our program, now that I've set the table for you, now we're going to talk about this deception of UFOs. And when I say that the UFOs are a deception, these UFOs, they are real, but they're not real. And why? Because fallen angels do not need spaceships to travel in. And all of these things that we see, and today we're going to be looking, we're going to be listening to the testimony of U.S. Navy sailors as they are watching a swarm of 9 UFOs swarming their ship. That was not a deception. That actually happened. That was a real event. And all these pilots who are watching these spaceships, these are not made up stories. These are things that are actually happening. But the part of it that's a deception is that these fallen angels have created these spaceships because they want to deceive you. They don't want you, just like when Antichrist comes. Have you ever wondered about that? Antichrist comes, and he pretends to be Jesus Christ. Antichrist comes, and he has to pretend to be Jesus Christ. He does not come as himself until Antichrist is assassinated. And then Satan shows up in Revelation chapter 12 as a literal, actual, seven-headed red dragon. That is not a metaphor. And a number of years ago, back in 2017, we published an article with this headline. If Satan is as great as he thinks he is, then why does he pretend to be Jesus in the time of Jacob's trouble? I'll say that again. If Satan is as great as he thinks he is, then why does he have to pretend to be Jesus in the time of Jacob's trouble? And I wrote this: how it must gall Satan to know that even after the rapture of the church, when there won't be even one saved person on the face of the earth for a short period of time, that he still cannot come as himself, because even unsaved people really don't want him. For a creature who is nothing but evil and ego, what a crushing blow this must be. And I want you to think about that for a second. Satan has to pretend to be Jesus Christ, because even an unsaved world doesn't want Satan. So he sends Antichrist. He raises up the spirit of Judas. Acts chapter 1 verse 25 says that when Judas died, he went to his own place. And he has been held in that place for the last 2,000 years. And the spirit of Judas Iscariot is going to be released from wherever and whatever that place is. And Satan is going to indwell a human being, the man of sin, and the spirit of Judas Iscariot is going to be put into that man of sin, and he is going to become what Judas was, the son of perdition. The Bible says that Judas is the son of perdition. The Bible says that Antichrist is the son of perdition, because Antichrist is Judas and Judas is Antichrist. But I want you to notice that when Satan sends Antichrist, he has to pretend to be Jesus Christ. He comes as the false Messiah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. For the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble, the world is deceived by Antichrist, who everybody thinks is the Messiah. Nobody thinks that he's Antichrist. They think he's the Messiah. And that's why Jesus himself says, when his Jewish disciples say to him in Matthew 24, verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 4 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The very first sign, the very first sign of the time of Jacob's trouble is a time of universal deception. Now, I believe that we are seeing the aliens, the UFOs, and it's being reported across every single news channel, fake news, real news, blogs, podcasting, YouTube, Rumble, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Everybody is reporting on the legitimacy of UFOs. So I want you to listen to this clip about UFOs, and I want you to understand that everything that you're being told about the UFOs, these are not space aliens. These are fallen angels, and they don't need spacecrafts, but they have presented these vehicles because they want to get your eyes away from thinking of them as fallen angels, just like when Antichrist comes, he has to pretend to be Jesus Christ. So here we have the return of the fallen angels and the Genesis 6 giants, but these fallen angels are not coming as themselves. They are coming as space aliens. Why? Because Jesus said, take heed that no man deceives you. Take a listen to this clip from 7 News in Australia.
Well, it's a question that has long plagued mankind. Are we really alone in the universe?
From flying saucer sightings to Pentagon secrets, our search for answers is about to get a whole lot clearer. US intelligence agencies are gearing up to release an unclassified report covering everything they know about UFOs.
Newly leaked vision from the US Navy.
The US government acknowledging the existence
of unidentified flying objects.
UFO.
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 My gosh.
From the realms of science fiction straight to the White House.
Splashed. Mark bearing a range.
This footage leaked from the US Navy defied explanation, sparking legitimate inquiries within the Pentagon.
I have now released footage of one of those objects descending into the water without destruction. There's no rotors, no tails, no exhaust plume in this FLIR image that you're seeing, which is forward-looking infrared.
Several retired Navy officers say the technology on display is between 100 and 1,000 years ahead of that possessed by the United States. It and several other videos are now under review by a government task force.
There's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory.
An unclassified report is set to be released in Congress next month, with the truth about UFOs finally exposed.
For more on this, we're joined by Nick Pope, one of the world's leading experts on UFOs. Good morning to you. Nick, you ran the British government's UFO project. What do you make of all of this? Do you believe in extraterrestrial life?
Well, I'm sure that there's life out there. Whether or not we're being visited, I don't know. But maybe, just maybe, we're about to get some answers on that. I mean, this is unprecedented, the situation in the United States now. Former presidents, CIA directors, directors of national intelligence, all taking it seriously. Whatever we're dealing with, there's a realization it's a serious defense and national security issue.
Isn't it incredible? Once upon a time, it would have totally blown the mind that Congress was sitting down to look at these reports seriously. But now it's just matter of fact. You've written several books. What's the strangest phenomena you've investigated or encountered?
Well, I think the strangest case I came across, it was before my time, but I did a cold case review, the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. Something actually landed, was witnessed by multiple military officers, and we had physical trace evidence at the landing site, including radioactivity levels significantly higher than the average background.
Wow.
But in our case files, we had hundreds and hundreds of cases over the years, and the really interesting ones were those ones where we had sightings from pilots, UFOs tracked on radar, hard corroborative evidence. That's what we were after.
There are three videos in particular from the US Navy which have sparked very fierce debate. Some people claim the unidentified object could be spy technology. What do you think?
Well, I think this is all still to be determined. I mean, this report that's going to Congress is going to be a proper intelligence analysis of the phenomenon. So, yes, those three videos, but everything else that's happened that they haven't been telling you about. There have been some interesting leaks. Apparently, the idea that it's aliens has not been discounted. The bad news is that although this report has to be unclassified, it can have a classified annex. So the suspicion is that the good stuff will be buried and won't see the light of day, but we'll see.
Mm. Very strange.
So there you have Nick Pope from 7 News over in Australia, and talking, he was the head of the Unidentified Flying Objects Task Force in England. And everybody is saying all across the world that they are seeing evidence of these incursions. Now, I want to talk for a moment about a brand new video that was released just yesterday, and it shows, it goes back to July of 2019, and the person who's really been at the forefront of this, a man by the name of Jeremy Corbell, and he has been working with people, and he's been obtaining these incredible videos of U.S. Navy radar showing, in this particular case, 9 UFOs swarming a U.S. Navy ship. And they swarmed the ship and they harassed it for over an hour. And these unidentified flying objects could go from 35 miles per hour to over 160 miles per hour in a matter of seconds. And then after they had swarmed the ship for the better part of an hour, they just simply disappeared without a trace. The U.S. Navy, they sent submarines out. They could not, they saw these ships go down into the water. They immediately dispatched submarines and they found nothing. They found no thermal trail, no broken parts, no, there was nothing. So these 9 UFOs swarmed a U.S. Navy vessel. They recorded it on radar, and this is what they said.
781 just sped up to 46 knots. 50 knots.
This morning, the sound of U.S. Navy sailors reacting to a radar screen tracking unidentified objects flying around their stealth ship.
138 knots. Holy
fast.
At times, the radar lighting up with nine objects. It could be similar to those captured on night vision and infrared video, swarming warships for nearly a week in July of 2019, then disappearing without a trace.
So that one's pretty much perfectly 000 relative, right?
Yeah.
At one point, two objects suddenly vanishing from the screen. Something experts say can happen with smaller targets. But the man who released the leaked video, Jeremy Corbell, says it might suggest the objects went above or below the radar range.
It's moving above the capacity for that radar to see it, or they're moving below, which would mean into the water.
Earlier this month, the filmmaker released another video showing a flying sphere drop into the ocean.
Whoa, splashed.
Saying USOs or unidentified submerged objects have also been tracked by the military. When asked about the radar video, a Pentagon spokesperson would only confirm they were taken by Navy personnel and were part of a review of unidentified aerial phenomenon, but wouldn't comment about how they were released.
Why are they confirming these videos that are leaked to you?
They want to be ahead of it, and they're out of options. There's a lot of pressure by the global public and the American public, you know, for answers.
And after years of Navy fighter pilots also reporting other incidents where flying objects seem to accelerate instantly or fly at supersonic speeds without breaking the sound barrier, lawmakers on intelligence committees are demanding answers.
There's enough obvious evidence here that we need to take this seriously, not downplay it, and try to gather as much information as we can to figure out what is it these pilots are seeing and what does it mean.
Right now, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And of course, if other nations have capabilities that we don't know of, we want to find out. If there's some explanation other than that, we want to learn that too.
Gadi, we mentioned that looming intelligence report on UFOs from the Pentagon. What can we expect from that?
Well, Chanel, technically that report is due around the end of June, but there is a chance it could be delayed. And there's also some debate over whether this could be Russia or China who have invested heavily in advanced drone technology. But one source told me that if this does turn out to be a different country, brazenly mocking our warships right off of our own coast night after night, this could represent an intelligence failure so big it might make some in the Pentagon wish these were actually from somewhere else.
Can't wait to find that out. My goodness. All right, Gadi, thank you.
I think that one thing that we can agree on right off the bat, when you see how fast these objects can fly, these are not objects from Russia. Russia has a relatively poor economy. Russia, like the nation of Iran, they like to brag and they like to boast and they like to pretend. But I do not see cutting-edge technology coming out of Russia. Absolutely not. And I don't see cutting-edge technology coming out of China either. I don't think that the Chinese have the ability to create flying ships that are 10 times, 20 times, 30 times faster than what America can create. I don't think at this point that any other nation on Earth has the technology that America has. And if you know of any other country that is more technologically advanced than America, I'd like to know what that country is. Because I cannot, Israel is a very technologically advanced country. And a lot of the times they take things like we sell them F-35s and they drastically improve the capability of the F-35s after we sell it to them. But they don't make the F-35s go 10 times faster. They don't make the F-35s be able to fly at 35,000 feet, then dive down into the ocean and then disappear without leaving a trace, leaving a ripple in the water, leaving broken parts. There is no country on the face of the earth, if it's not America, then I would have to say that there's no country on the face of the earth that is capable of this type of technology. The only type of thing that I can think of is back in World War II when the Nazis had they had a level of technology that no other country had. Now, they didn't possess it to the point where it enabled them to win the war. One of the questions that people like to ask, and they say, well, okay, if the Nazis had such advanced technology, why Couldn't they win World War II? If you had such superior technology, you would think that they could have leveraged that technology and won the war. Well, one of the reasons for that, I think, is a spiritual reason. Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist. Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist, right down to the fact that his ID card given to him in 1920 when he joined the National Socialist Workers' Party. They gave him an ID card that said 555, and he is the last type of Antichrist before the actual one shows up after the rapture. And I believe that Hitler had to lose the war because of Daniel 11:45. Daniel 11:45 says, "And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." And that's exactly how Adolf Hitler died. He died a coward's death. He died alone in his bunker with a gun to his head after he shoots his wife. Daniel says, "Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." And while Adolf Hitler was blowing his own brains out, the Russians on one side and the Allied army on the other side had already entered into Berlin, and they were about to take possession of the nation of Germany. Adolf Hitler came to his end, and he received no help. And I believe that's why, ultimately, the Nazis lost the war. I don't think it had so much to do with technology. I think it had more to do with the fact that Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist. And Adolf Hitler had to come to his end and to receive no help, because it was his time to go. But if these UFO incursions are not aliens, then how can you explain technology that is so far advanced from anything that we have today? Now, maybe our government has created this technology and they're just sitting on it. Maybe. But why would they do that? And so when you try to come up with realistic answers for why these things might be happening, you really don't come up with any satisfying answers until you realize that it may just be what it looks like, an incursion of UFOs. Take a listen to this clip, Pop Culture's Impact on UFOs Ahead of the U.S. Intelligence Report.
The Director of National Intelligence will soon deliver an unclassified report to Congress about what our government knows about UFOs. Public imagination about mysterious flying objects has been mostly shaped by Hollywood artists who've wondered what would happen if and when we ever make contact. NBC News reporter Daniel Arkin joins us now with more on all this. Daniel, I know you spoke with a number of Hollywood alien film, let's try that again, Hollywood filmmakers who do films about aliens, about this upcoming movement. What did they tell you?
Hi, Aaron. Thank you for having me. One of the people I was most excited to speak with is Chris Carter. Carter is the creator of the television show The X-Files. And I asked him, how does it feel to see the subject of UFOs move from the cultural fringes somewhat closer to the cultural mainstream? And he told me that for him, someone who's been fascinated by this topic for decades, since he was a teenager, it was delightful to see UFOs finally make front page headline news in 2021. I also spoke with Barry Sonnenfeld. Barry Sonnenfeld is the director of the very popular Men in Black film trilogy, happens to be a very colorful guy. And he told me that if aliens are indeed out there, he is frankly literally terrified. He imagines that they aren't particularly friendly and that human beings don't deserve to be treated particularly nicely. I was also excited to chat with Aaron Ryder. He's the producer of the Amy Adams drama Arrival. And he told me that when they were shooting that film in 2015 in Canada, he was really gripped by this feeling that it was only a matter of time and in some ways inevitable that the American public would learn more about the possible existence of UFOs. If anything, he told me he's surprised that it's taken this long for an unclassified report of this scale to reach the U.S. Senate.
Wow, yeah, you know, I've seen all those films you just referenced, and if any of that stuff becomes reality, it's a scary, scary thing. One other thing that I thought was really interesting, you spoke to a professor who says that media depictions about UFOs and aliens have potentially negatively impacted what is a serious field of study. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I spoke with Diana Pasulka. She is an academic and an author of a book about the role that UFOs have played in the national psyche. And her perspective is basically this. Hollywood treatment of UFO encounters is kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, some of the great science fiction films and television shows have inspired people for decades, inspired people to pursue interesting careers in the sciences and the arts, and in some cases, even in public service. But on the other hand, and this was the really crucial point you're asking about, she believes that some of the more sensationalized and fantastical depictions of UFO encounters in movies and shows have often stood in the way of this topic being taken with the seriousness that it might deserve. And her example is, you mentioned UFOs in casual conversation. A lot of folks might think of the creepy aliens from the Tim Burton movie Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
They may not fully appreciate that these UFO encounters might in fact deserve seriousness in the scientific and academic communities and potentially even in our national security establishment.
Well, I know the conversation continues on this. Maybe we'll have you back to tell us what.
So there you have a clip talking about pop culture's impact on UFOs ahead of the U.S. intelligence report. And this is where everything is leading. So people are expecting big, big things to come from this U.S. intelligence report. And with each passing week, why have we been doing so many programs on UFOs lately? Because UFOs are big in the news right now. And UFOs are absolutely tied into Bible prophecy. And if you're a Bible believer, you're going to want to know what the truth is of what you're watching from a biblical perspective. Because the Bible, your King James Bible, is the only source of absolute truth that exists on this world today. If you want absolute truth, you're not going to get it from an NIV Bible, which is filled with mistakes. You're not going to get it from an ESV, ASV, RSV, the Message, Good News for Modern Man. You will not get the truth if you don't have a King James Bible. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who shall say unto him, what doest thou? Do you have the word of a king? If not, you need to get the word of a king. Now, most of you know, but I will mention it again, we do have the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract program. If you would like a King James Bible, but you cannot afford one, we can absolutely send you one completely free of charge. And we have Christian brothers and sisters who have helped to create this program and keep this program going. And if you would like, and if you can't afford and would like a King James Bible, all you have to do is go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free. And you can order your free King James Bible with a packet of gospel tracts. And we highly urge that you do that. If you can't afford one, we'll send you one completely for free, no strings attached. You don't even have to pay for the shipping. That's how much we want you to have God's preserved word. And if you don't have God's preserved word, then you don't have absolute truth. I was reading in the Bible earlier today where it talks about how God gave the oracles of God to the Jewish people. And if you were living in Old Testament times, if you couldn't speak Hebrew, if you couldn't read Hebrew, then you couldn't understand the Word of God. God only put his Old Testament in one language. And then when you get to the New Testament, it's put into Greek. And if you can't understand Greek, then you have a problem. In our day, where is absolute truth? It is preserved in the pages of your English Bible. The King James Authorized Version 1611 Holy Bible. And we are unbendable on this point. And I have believed for the past 30 years that the King James Bible is where God has preserved his word. And nothing that I've experienced over these last three decades has caused me to change my mind. I don't look for errors in the King James Bible, but I do read when people try and tell me that there are errors in the King James Bible. And I haven't found a single one in 30 years. But again, I'm not looking because I believe that the King James Bible is the absolute word of God preserved in English. Now, here's an article from Politico, and it talks about how Washington, D.C., over the last 20 years, has gone mainstream on UFOs. Remember, there was a day and time when the FBI and the CIA and the Pentagon and the Senate and the Congress and everybody in Washington, if you believed that UFOs were real, then you were a conspiracy theory fringe nutcase. But back in 1995, in a conference room in an office tower near the Las Vegas airport, a small group started. This group included a handful of scientists and engineers. There was a CIA spy. There was an ex-army colonel and two Apollo astronauts. And there was the person who handpicked the group and invited them to Las Vegas. His name was Robert Bigelow, a Nevada real estate magnate. He wanted to talk about aliens. Bigelow, just turning 50 at the time, had made enough money as a commercial developer, opening budget hotels across the Southwest, that he could finally indulge a fascination with UFOs that dated years back. To a close encounter his grandparents had experienced and told him about when he was 3 years old. Now, Bigelow called his group the National Institute for Discovery Science. NIDS, as they called it, as it took shape in those Las Vegas meetings, was mainly interested in two topics, UFOs and consciousness after death. Its members were experts who had gotten used to having their interests disrespected by their peers. The group's co-founder was John Alexander, a retired Army officer who worked at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico, and had published books and articles on various aspects of UFOlogy and the paranormal. Another was Hal Puthoff, an engineer and self-described parapsychologist who, while at the Stanford Research Institute in the 70s and 80s, had carried out top-secret experiments for the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency on something called remote viewing, or using the human mind to sense objects or events that were far away. Now, collectively, this group, which also attracted former astronauts Ed Mitchell and an avowed UFOlogist Harrison Schmitt, who had also served as a U.S. senator from New Mexico a decade earlier, they didn't fret too much about the reputational risks of talking openly about whether the government had captured an alien or retrieved a crashed spacecraft. Now, this article goes on to say, and I'm going to put the link into the chat room, but you can go to politico.com and you can read this article today. And it talks about how over the last 26 years, Washington, D.C. has been gradually going mainstream on the topic of UFOs. Now, we told you back in 2019 that the Pentagon, they, without any apology, without any explanation, back in 2019, the United States Pentagon simply just switched their point of view and went from mocking people who believed that UFOs were real to admitting that not only were they real, but they had formed a group called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force, because they had so many dozens and dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of reports of UFO encounters with military personnel. And so in 2019, the United States government finally decided that UFOs were real, and they tried to pretend that they always felt that way, and they always had that perspective, but the truth is, they did not. And here we are in 2021, and we are just weeks away from this big government report. So I want you to take a listen to this. This is a man by the name of Bob Lazar, and he is talking about the alien technology that is housed at a secret S-4 military base. Take a listen to Bob Lazar talking about alien technology.
This week in our series of reports on UFOs, we learned a number of things. That not everybody who sees a UFO is crazy. That our government has lied about UFO information. That it's withheld UFO files and even spied on UFO witnesses. We've also heard from scientists who say life elsewhere in the universe is virtually a certainty. And we heard that a majority of Americans believe that UFOs are real and come from space. Tonight, in part five of his report, George Knapp introduces us to a local man with an amazing and disturbing story. George.
Gary and Mary Ruth, we've been working on this story for a long time, and we'll tell you right up front that it's going to be hard to swallow at first. This week, we've heard the contention of UFO researchers that there is a secret government within our government. While that may be hard to believe coming from the UFO perspective, we've certainly learned in Watergate and the Iran-Contra scandal that factions within our government can and do pursue their own hidden agendas outside of the law, outside the control of Congress, or the knowledge of the American people.
Now, I'll stop that clip right there. Did you hear where the guy said, talking about the discovery of a government within our government? Now, this clip that I'm playing for you is not a new clip. It's a couple of years old. But one thing that the Trump presidency showed everybody is that there is a government within our government. Now, you can call it the swamp, you can call it the New World Order, you can call it anything you want to call it. But after 4 years of watching these people attack Donald Trump, you can see very, very clearly that there is a government within the United States government.
This is exactly the type of operation we'll hear about tonight. It's a chilling scenario with worldwide implications that may have its roots right here.
Area 51, that mysterious corner of the Nevada test site, is no longer much of a secret. The fact that secretive things go on here is a given, even to the Soviets, who make daily spy flights over the facility to take a peek at what's going on. These photos, never before shown in public, are about as close as anyone will ever come to seeing what the place looks like again. The dry bed of Groom Lake, corrugated metal buildings, a 3-mile-long runway, and some highly sophisticated radar and detection equipment. It's been known by many names over the years: Dreamland, The Ranch, The Skunk Works. If ever there was a place to test a secret new technology, this is it. And that's exactly what's been done here for decades. Area 51 is where Francis Gary Powers and the other U-2 pilots were trained in the 50s, and where the U-2 itself was developed. The SR-71 spy planes that spotted Soviet missiles in Cuba in the early 60s were also developed at 51. 51 is where stealth technology was nurtured, where Star Wars devices are still tested, and where all manner of CIA monkey business has been plotted and refined. It's the perfect place for secret things, but of course, that's no secret. 51 is ringed by the forbidden vastness of the Nevada test site, by the looming Groom Mountains, and by sparsely populated desert expanses. The few people who do live out here have no love lost for the military, but They're conservative, patriotic, and they mind their own business.
You ever see stuff you can't explain?
Sure. Lots of stuff.
Care to elaborate?
No.
Happy anniversary to you!
On any given night at the Rachel Bar and Grill, you might find three or four people who work at Area 51, there amid the flowing Budweisers and cowboy hats. You might find them, but they aren't going to talk to you, not about the things they've seen over the mountains. A steady trickle of curiosity seekers flows through here, strangers drawn by strange stories of lights in the night sky. Their questions also go unanswered. No one who's worked at Dreamland has ever publicly acknowledged what so many people have suspected for years, that alien technology is being tested in the Nevada desert. The speculation first surfaced in documents obtained by UFO researchers, documents about something called Project Aquarius. The documents, allegedly prepared for an organization called MJ-12, state that a program to fly recovered alien spacecraft was established in 1972 and is continuing in Nevada. The National Security Agency has confirmed it does have a Project Aquarius, but denies it has anything to do with flying saucers. NSA will not say what Project Aquarius is. Speculation was heightened in 1984 when the Air Force seized nearly 90,000 acres around Groom Lake. The action was, by most accounts, illegal. During congressional hearings about the land grab, Congressman John Seiberling grilled the military about the legal authority used in the action and was told the authority was at a much, much higher level than the Air Force. Seiberling asked what authority is higher than the laws of the United States. The Air Force official said he could respond, but only in a closed briefing. In 1987, when the Air Force sought to renew its stranglehold on the Groom Range, news articles once again mentioned the talk about alien spacecraft, and subsequent articles in national magazines quoted unnamed sources about things of alien origin flying in Nevada, things that would make filmmaker George Lucas drool. Despite the speculation, no one who knew Area 51 from the inside ever talked publicly about the saucer stories.
Well, there's several, nine, flying saucers, flying discs, that are out there of extraterrestrial origin.
The live interview with the shadowy Dennis drew international attention. Portions were broadcast by radio in six European countries and in a nationally televised TV special in Japan.
Actually, nine flying saucers, flying discs.
Despite numerous inquiries and feelers, Dennis has remained anonymous until now. His real name is Robert Lazar, a young scientist with eclectic interests. The choice of Dennis was an inside joke. He says that's the name of his superior at Groom Lake. It wasn't a joke to Dennis.
He called right after and he said, "Do you have any idea what we're going to do to you now?" And I said, "Well, no." And he hung up the phone.
Lazar's story is, by any standards, fantastic. He says he's telling it in order to protect himself. He says he was hired to work at an area called S4, which is a few miles south of Groom Lake. At S4, he says, are flying saucers, antimatter reactors, and other working examples of technology that is seemingly beyond human capabilities.
Right, this came from somewhere else. I mean, as bizarre as that is to believe, but I mean, it's there, I saw it. I know what the current state of the art is and in physics, and it can't be done.
Checking out Lazar's credentials proved to be a difficult task. He says he earned degrees in physics and electronics, but the schools we contacted say they've never heard of him. He also said he worked as a physicist at Los Alamos National Lab, where he experimented with one of the world's largest particle beam accelerators, a half-mile-long behemoth capable of generating 700 million volts. Los Alamos officials told us they had no records of a Robert Lazar ever working there. They were either mistaken or were lying. A 1982 phone book from the lab lists Lazar right there among the other scientists and technicians. A 1982 clipping from the Los Alamos newspaper profiled Lazar and his interest in jet cars. It, too, mentioned his employment at the lab as a physicist. We called Los Alamos again. An exasperated official told us he still had no records on Lazar. EG&G, which is where Lazar says he was interviewed for the job at S4, also has no records. It's as if someone has made him disappear.
Well, they're trying to make me a non-person.
Explain. You called where?
Well, the schools that I went to, the hospital that I was born at, past job, and essentially nothing comes up with my name in it.
He smiles, but out of futility, knowing the whole thing must sound ridiculous. According to Lazar, his employer was the United States Navy. He says he and other government employees would gather near EG&G, fly to Groom Lake, then a very few people would get into a bus with blacked out or no windows and drive to S4.
When you get off the bus, what do you see?
It's a very interesting building. It's got a slope of probably about 30 degrees, which are hangar doors. And it has textured paint on it, but it looks like sand. It's made to look like the side of the mountain that it's in, whether it's to disguise it from satellite photographs or what.
He says he was never told exactly what he'd be working on, but figured it had something to do with advanced propulsion. On his first day, he was told to read a series of briefings and immediately realized how advanced the propulsion was.
The power source is an antimatter reactor. They run gravity amplifiers. There's actually two parts to the drive mechanism. It's a bizarre technology. There's no physical hookup between any of the systems in there. They use gravity as a wave, using waveguides, almost like microwaves.
It took a while, Lazar says, before he actually saw one of the flying discs. However, there were hints everywhere.
Right, they had a poster, and it looked like a commercial poster almost, like it was lithographed and you could buy it at a Kmart or something. But they were all over the place, and it had the disc that I coined the term the sport model. Was lifted off the ground about 3 feet at area S4 on the dry lake there, and the catch on the bottom said they're here. And those are just all over the place.
Later, he got to see the real thing.
When I was let in, it was the first time I saw the sport model in the hangar sitting down, and I was told they could have walked me in the front door, but they purposely wanted to walk me by it. I was told not to say anything and just keep my eyes forward and walk past the disc into the office area. And I did, and as we went by it, I just kind of stuck my hands on it just to run it alongside the thing. And, that was about the smallest time. After that, I got to see it actually lift off the ground and operate.
But you also, in between that, you saw more than one.
Yeah. The hangars are all connected together, and there are large bay doors between each one. And there were 9 total that I saw. Each one being different, like they had the assortment pack.
Security at S4 was oppressive, Lazar says, and his superiors used fear and intimidation almost as a brainwashing tool.
It did everything but physically hurt me.
Put a gun to your head?
Yeah.
And said what? What actually put a gun to your head?
Well, they did that even in the original security briefings. They had guards there with M16s, a guy is slamming their finger into my chest, screaming in my ear, some people pointing weapons at me. Like I said, it's not a good place to work.
That fear factor would surface later. Lazar agreed to undergo a polygraph exam as part of this report. Polygrapher Ron Slay asked about the technology Lazar had seen.
Did you knowingly lie when you said you had actually seen anti-gravity propulsion in operation?
No.
The results of this exam were inconclusive. Lazar appeared to be truthful on one test, deceitful on a second. Slay recommended that a second examiner be brought in. Polygrapher Terry Tavernetti runs a corporate security operation and is a former Los Angeles police officer. He put Lazar through 4 tests and concluded there was no attempt to deceive.
And I left there thinking that I feel we do have some credibility to what the subject had to say. And that's when I went to some of my colleagues.
Tavernetti sent the test results to a third polygrapher who agreed the results appeared truthful. The charts were then sent to a 4th examiner who did not agree, suggesting Lazar might be relating information he'd learned from someone else. The polygraphers conferred and decided they would not issue a final statement on truthfulness until more specific testing can be conducted, and that's where it stands. Tavernetti believes that difficulty in determining Lazar's truthfulness stems from the fear that was drilled into him.
I think we're talking about a subject here that is so far-reaching, and it is so emotional. And when you're dealing with emotions, this is polygraph, because we're dealing in polygraph, you're looking at fear. The fear of getting caught telling a lie because something bad will happen to you if you do.
Well, I am telling the truth. I've tried to prove that. What's going on up there could be the most important event in history. You're talking about contact, physical physical contact and proof of, from another system, another planet, another intelligence. That's got to be the biggest event in history, period.
And it's real.
And it's real and it's there.
So there you have the testimony of a man by the name of Bob Lazar. And Bob Lazar worked at Area 51 for a long time. And Bob Lazar, he came out and he began to tell his story. And as you heard in his testimony, his name began to disappear from the hospital that he was born at, the schools that he went to, the people that he knew. And all across the board, people began to disavow any knowledge of having known him or interacted with him. And that interview was about 25 years old. But isn't it interesting that Bob Lazar's testimony, whether you believe it or don't believe it, Bob Lazar's testimony was constantly pointing towards the United States Navy. He didn't say the Army or the Marines or the Air Force. He said the Navy. And a lot of people think that all pilots are with the Air Force. Obviously, that's not true. There are Navy pilots. And these ships are what they call transmedia ships. And that means that they can fly in the air and they can fly underwater. And they fly underwater at almost the same speed that they can fly through the air. Now, you and I know that that's not physically possible. But that's what the reports are, and that's what's happening, and that's what these videos from Jeremy Corbell have been capturing. But isn't it interesting that here we are almost three decades later, after Bob Lazar first started telling his story, and he said that all these things with the UFOs were happening with the United States Navy? Well, in 2021, that clip that we played for you earlier, the clip that was just released last night showing nine different UFOs, and where were they? They were swarming a U.S. Navy ship, exactly like what Bob Lazar said almost 30 years ago. So to me, that is a very credible testimony. Because those things that I just played for you, and that clip was a little bit long, but I wanted you to hear the whole thing in context. That clip shows you things that Bob Lazar said were true almost 30 years ago that we are starting to see coming true in our day today. So I believe it. I believe his testimony, and we are just a couple of weeks away from the Pentagon report on what they know about the UFOs. And we will continue to keep you updated with that. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. And please remember to keep in prayer Jeanette's parents. Her mom and dad have some health struggles right now. Please continue to pray for Chelsea and Amanda and Jacqueline. They really need on different ways and different levels and for different reasons, but they all need a touch from the Lord. They need to have situations ordered and reordered in their life, so that would be great if you could keep Chelsea, Amanda, and Jacqueline in your prayers. They certainly do appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in, and Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Sunday morning. Yes, it is Memorial Day weekend, and yes, we will be broadcasting, Lord willing, our NTEB Sunday morning house church service, and we hope to see you there. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory,
What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. That day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.